We're doing our class on dating. We had discussed the importance of finding equilibrium, making sure we are at equilibrium before we start dating. We had discussed that when we're dating, we are going to try to see that we match on our perspectives, on our values, on our priorities, on our religious approach to things. And now we have to break down these things a little bit. So let's begin with religion. First of all, we have to be of the same religion, okay? That's, we have to be Jewish. Don't take this lightly. We had a student once who dated a girl, the only girl in this class with a Jewish name, called Ariella. Turns out her father was Jewish and she was not. So find out the girl's Jewish. You're dating someone. It could be a girl who went to Chozer B'Tshuva school. It could be that you're out in university. Don't go by the fact that she's Israeli and Zionistic. Find out. And leave it on your to-do list. Don't do to me like did to me many years ago at one wedding ceremony. A young man comes over to me as we're about to begin the ceremony and says, "I'm a Kohen, and I don't remember if I checked out if I'm allowed to marry her." And this is at his wedding ceremony. Don't do that. If you're a Kohen, find out.
Can I ask something?
You're the Kohen here. Yes, Mr. Kohen.
So if I marry a convert, my son's a halal Kohen. But if he marries a perfectly fine Jew, his son's still a Kohen, yeah?
No. Halal never goes away. There's no way to undo it. It's over. Till Mashiach comes, and then too, all descendants of a Kohen who marry someone who is prohibited to marry will all be halalim. He ruins it for everyone. It's over.
That's the done. It's
over. They could never become a kosher Kohen again. Never. Finished. Halal means a desecrated Kohen. If a Kohen marries a woman he's not allowed to marry, then all the children he will have from her and all future generations from that woman will forever be disqualified Kohanim. They will be...
So if a Kohen marries a woman that slept with a Goy, that's same thing?
Yeah. But if he marries after that, a woman...
Damn it.
Right? What can you do? You're a holy man. It means you have potential. It means you have responsibility. Mala, so...
Potential's good, I guess.
Yeah, it's hard. Yes, sir? Guys, let's focus on dating. You're not a Kohen today. I don't think you're going to be a Kohen tomorrow. Let's leave it. I'd also like to be a Kohen, but he has something we can't get. Can't buy it with money. Back to our... Let's stick to dating. So we said you have to verify she's Jewish and this is for real. If you're not a Kohen... So we once had a student who dated a girl whose parents would eat pork and like they were non-observant completely. But as far as she knew, she was Jewish. And when he asked me, as he was dating her, he said, "Should I continue dating her?" And I said, "She went to a Jewish school, and as far as you know, she's keeping Torah and mitzvot. What we have to do is, before you get married, we will go and verify, and you won't be the bad guy. We'll let the rabbinate be the bad guy. You'll talk to me, and I'll make sure the rabbinate, when you come to open up a file to get married, the rabbinate will say, we need good documentation that you're Jewish." And she could not prove she was Jewish. And so a week before her wedding, she immersed as a giyoret. Maybe she is Jewish. So there is such a concept as giyur l'chumrah. Just don't forget to do this. I'm saying, I'm not telling you before you go on a date, you tell a girl, prove to me you're Jewish before I date you. No, that's not the idea here. The idea is before you get married, make sure you've checked out that she's a kosher Jew. You have to find that out. There are plenty of young ladies who keep mitzvot, who have good intentions, who are kind people, who have Jewish names, and they're not Jewish. You know, we had a guy named Ari Cohen who was not Jewish. His father was Jewish, but he wasn't Jewish. So his name was Ari Cohen, fine, but his mother wasn't Jewish. So does it help? I made up the name. I don't remember what it was. If it was Ephraim Cohen or Ari Cohen. He had a nice Jewish name. What difference does it make? Bottom line, he wasn't Jewish. So you have to find out that the person you're dating is Jewish.
Until the Mashiach comes?
And on. It doesn't end.
Forever.
Gemarno. Okay. Over. So that's point number one. Point number two is we're looking for someone who shares values with us, and that's what I started discussing in the question of religiosity. So you could say my observant level is steady, but it's fluctuating in a certain direction, and that's fine. As we discussed in our first class, you cannot have serious fluctuations and go dating and get married, because you don't yet know who you are. You're creating your identity. But once your identity is being created, and you've been keeping Shabbat for a year or two or three now, and you know pretty much where your ups and downs, where your fluctuations are, so then you date a girl, and you suddenly discover that you're not on the same page on certain religious issues. And this is where I prefer not to deal with the details as much as to deal with the general approach. And it goes like this. Number one, don't think that she can be observant for you. That's not a normal relationship. If she, on her own, decides, I want to keep Torah and mitzvot, and it makes sense, and this is the lifestyle I want to lead, there's what to talk about. If she says, you're a great guy, for you I'd do anything, of course I'll lead an observant lifestyle just to marry you. Well, that doesn't work, because what's going to happen is, what happens when there's this thing called a fight? Yeah, sometimes it happens, she's annoyed at you, so you're annoyed at her, so then she's going to say, I just had meat. L'chaim, this cup of milk is delicious. What you going to do to me? What did
divorce,
I do?
Divorce. Muslim one.
I'm taking the meat sponge and I'm cleaning out your milchik dishes. You don't like it here, you clean the dishes. I'm saying it's going to be dynamite that will explode. That's not a normal relationship. Religion is part of our identity. Keeping Torah and mitzvot is part of our identity. When you're dating someone, your identity has to match her identity. It doesn't work that a person says, I will be observant for you. I will be observant because I value you. It's not a real way to build a relationship. My identity has to be mine. Just like a person who's outgoing can't say, I'll be more quiet because I love you. It doesn't work. One of the rules when we're dating is that the key components of our identity, of our personality, have to match. It has to be that I value the key components of who she is, and she values the key components of who I am. We haven't spoken in years. I had a very good friend who's a very quiet and gentle guy. And I wanted to set him up with a girl who's very active. Very active. Very, very, very active in a good way. She ran an office, and she was always helping people. Very, very active. And I didn't set them up. And the months kept going by, and I'd set him up with someone like him and her up with someone like her. Until finally I said, I'm going to try. So I called him up and I said, I have this girl, but she's very, very active. And I'm scared that you might not value this personality in her, but that's who she is. She's a great girl, and I think it's a great match. But promise me that you'll only marry her if you feel that you respect her and value her for those traits, and that it's not a compromise. You can't compromise on a key component of her personality. He promised. Then I called her up, and I said, I'm scared. I have a great guy for you. Amazing. Really. One of the nicest guys I know. But he's very gentle and quiet, and I'm scared with your personality. You will always look at that as a weakness, that you're putting up with this guy who's so gentle. If you promise me that you will only marry him if you really value that part of who he is, then I'll set you up with him. But you have to promise me that you won't marry him saying, it's okay, I'll put up with it. You can't put up with a key component of the personality. It has to be a positive. It has to be that you like the key components of your partner's personality. So they both promised, and I set them up. And I called them up after the first date, and they said it was great. And I called them up after the third date, and I called them up before they got engaged. And Baruch Hashem, they're married with kids. But I kept following up, and I kept asking them the same question. Are you sure that it's not a compromise? You can't compromise on the key components of who you are and who the other person is. Whoever your personality is, it has to match naturally with the other person. There are areas where we can compromise. I want to live in the north and she wants to live in the south. Okay, we could find a compromise. I want to send my kids to learn judo, taekwondo, karate, and who knows what. And she says, I want my kids to learn piano, and I want them to be docile creatures. They shouldn't know anything from fighting. Okay, We can compromise. There are many areas you can compromise. But what's key about our personalities, about our identity, there you can't compromise. You have to match who you are with who she is. And if she says, or if you say, I will practice Judaism because I want to marry you, that's not a healthy relationship. Ah, you want to go to school, you want to learn, and after you learn, if you connect, you will evolve in that direction. That's okay, that's fair. But then it's your decision, you're not doing it for me. We had students here who showed up here, and they had a girlfriend, and when they came here, their girlfriend went to a girls' seminary, and they each went their own path, and after a year they met and they got married. But at the end of that year, he was keeping Shabbat and she was keeping Shabbat, but they each grew in their own. And we've seen this many times, not once. Many times, that people who matched leading a non-observant lifestyle each grew in their observance, but they each did it for themselves. Yes?
Would it not be okay for it to be kick-started, like the religiosity, by love for the person and going to do it for the person?
But you can't get married based on that. That's what I said. If she'll go to a seminary, if she got kick-started because, or he got kick-started because of her, I don't care why they started.
And then it turns into something that's genuine.
But it has to be genuine, and you have to give that time. That can happen.
That could be toxic, though, because it might not really be genuine. And
that's another question. How do you know if it's genuine? That he didn't ask.
How do you know?
That's your asking. That's a good question. That's a very good question. Maybe we'll be able to get to that man.
Thursday night.
No.
Oh, tonight.
In this series, but not yet. So that's a very good question. How do you know what's genuine? But so we, coming back to what we are looking for, we are looking for systems that are similar. And what I mean by that is, the question is, to my mind, the question is, how do you make decisions? When a guy tells me I'm dating a girl, and she says, she respects halacha, she loves Judaism, everything's great, but she's going to wear pants. So I say, my issue isn't the pants. My issue is, how does she decide how she keeps Torah and mitzvot? If she says, well, my rabbi says wearing pants is kosher. So I say, fine. So then you just have to figure out if you guys can match on a rabbi. If you're going to go by your rabbi, she's going to go by her rabbi. You have to find a meeting ground here, how to make it work.
Like that attitude.
It might. But at least her system is that. If she says, I don't know, it's just not for me. So then I'll say, well, what else is not for her? Are you willing to marry someone who says it's just not for me and then doesn't do it? I was once walking and I saw a woman open the trunk of a car on Shabbos and start putting stuff in. Her husband says, what are you doing? She says, I can't wait anymore. I got to get out of here. It's still Shabbos. She's opening the trunk of a car on Shabbos. The light's turning on. I can't wait anymore. I felt bad for the guy. So his wife, that line, I can't do it anymore. Where do you end that? Do you open a trunk on Shabbos? So coming back to here, what we're looking for when we speak about observance level and religiosity, we're looking for systems that match. How do you decide what you're doing? So one guy says, I go to Rabbi Google. I punch in my question. I see. I do a good shop. I see what opinions are out there. Then whatever. Okay, if that's what's good for you and that's what's good for her. Again, this is the one class where we don't speak about what type of person we should be. We're talking about given who I am, who matches for me. Who I should be, that's all our other classes. That's not this class. This class is where I am. I need to find someone that matches. And then we need to find someone that matches in the system. The system is the key.
What if she decides what?
So when we speak about observance level, one point to ponder is, how do we reach decisions? And you might have to ask yourself some difficult questions on that. You heard there are opinions that say this, that, and other thing. How do you decide whether you should shave on Yom HaTzmut? You want to go on a trip, and they say it's dangerous. How do you decide if you should go or not? How unsafe does it have to be prohibited? So we had a student here who said he's going to Jordan. And I said, I don't think it's safe for you to go to Jordan. And he said, no, don't worry about me. I have a foreign passport. I'm going touring. So he went to Jordan. And he was driving down the highway. and there was a car that had a breakdown on the side of the highway, and the little boy walked down in front of his car as he was zooming, and he ran over the kid and killed him. And then he was put in jail. Now, in Jordan, the way the law works is there's this, like, honor killing. Like, he couldn't leave jail till this kid's family, they post the bail. They tell him how much he has to give bail. Meaning he, it's not a judge that tells him bail. The family comes in and says, now, they say what the bail has to be. And they keep the bail.
But their kid ran out. It's their
fault. Right? Their kid ran out. It's their fault. I'm telling you the reality, not the... Now, the bigger problem was that there are two other problems. Number one is, it's common practice in Jordan that they give you a number, the highest number they think they can get out of you. And then when you leave prison, they're waiting out there to kill you. That's problem number one he had. Problem number two he had was that if they'd know he was Jewish, they'd never let him out, and he might get killed by the Arabs in prison. So let's go back to our original question. Do you travel to Jordan or not? He thought it was safe. And I begged him not to go. And he said, Rabbi, leave me alone. I'm going to Jordan. So he traveled to Jordan. And he spent, I don't know how long, weeks in the Jordanian prison. And we were able to keep it all undercover that he was Jewish. Now, with his foreign passport, his friends worked on it. His government worked on it. And Baruch Hashem, he made it back here alive. But now I'm asking you the question. You want to take your wife on a trip to Jordan. And you say it's safe, and she says it's not. How do you decide? So you might say, the Minister of Tourism. You might say, I don't ask the rabbi. You might say, I do ask the rabbi. I'm not discussing what's the right approach. I am discussing that you need to match on the approach. What we're looking as we're dating is to find that we match. And we want to match on our systems for making decisions. You can't cover every decision. There will be many different decisions you'll have in life. The question is, how do we make a decision? And that's what we're looking for as we're dating. So in the area of religiosity, some of our questions are going to be, what questions do we have to ask? Who do we ask? How do we decide who do we ask? When you have to decide where you're going to live, are you going to ask a rabbi or are you going to decide with your wife? I'm not saying one's more right than the other. I'm saying how you reach that decision should be shared. You should share in your approach. You should also share in the direction of who you're looking to ask. How you decide where you send your kids to education. So Chusid says, I don't have questions. I ask the Rebbe everything. Whatever the Rebbe says, that's what I do. I don't think we have Hasidim in the class. So then you have to decide what you ask, who you ask to. And this is where dating becomes colorful.
You can't always find a girl that's going to agree with everything you want. Like,
that's not the point. The point is the system. The point is not reaching the same conclusion. We have to use the same system.
So you can find a perfect girl who doesn't want to ask her rabbi anything, but you do ask her rabbi something.
Right, but then what's going to happen when it reaches junctures like education, like what's considered safe or not safe? She wants to go on vacation to Jordan. Your rabbi holds it's dangerous. A Jew's not supposed to go into such dangers for nothing. For example... What are you going to do there? So when you're dating, you're trying to find that you match. So you want to match on the systems. Again, the details are impossible to cover. You need to make sure you match on the systems. Priorities. So now we're going to start touching on his question. Part of what we're trying to discover is what our priorities, what her priorities are. How do you know that? So stay away from one-liners. I was dating a girl. It was the time when there were stickers all around, Kahana Tzadak, Kahana Tzadak. So as we're dating and we're walking, and she tells me, Atayudesh Kahana Tzadak. You know Kahana was right. So I said, forgive me. I'm in Ole Chadash. What did Kahana say? So she said, I don't know. Okay. So Kahana was right, but what did he say? He was very right wing. Okay, if that's what you mean when you tell me Kahana Tzadak, to be very right wing, okay, at least I know what you meant. We're trying to see that we match. So on the date, the way to really understand the other party is to tell stories, to talk about her family life, to talk about her experiences in Shirut Lumi, her experiences as a family, what do they do at family get-togethers. as you talk about life, you start understanding who she really is. That means, even though we have all these different things that we're trying to fill in, the parameters we're discussing, the way to really understand who she is by having a pleasant date together. Schmoozing. We're going to talk. So, you have to be intelligent here. We had a student here who dated a girl 20 dates, and I asked him what he knew about her, and he said, not much. I said, what'd you guys do for 20 dates? He said, we spoke about all these non-important things, but it was a lot of fun. I said, so do you know if she wants to send her kids to education where the boys and girls are separate or mixed? Is she going to send them to Bnei Akiva? Is she going to send them to Ariel? Is she going to send them to Ezra? Is she going to... What does she want? Does she believe Jews belong beyond the green line? Not beyond the green line? Does she want you to learn Torah? I don't know, Rabbi. I don't know any of this. So what'd you do for 20 dates? Oh, we spoke about flowers. We spoke about movies. Okay, so... You have to be intelligent. When I say schmooze during the dates, I don't mean schmooze about movies.
Important schmooze.
I'm saying, right. You try to understand who the person is, where they're coming from, where they're going to, what their values are. Talk about her work. Talk about her college. Talk about her friends. A girl might tell you honesty is the most important thing. Without honesty, you can't build any relationship. It's the only thing. It's the building blocks of life. When you can trust a person, then you build with them. When you can't trust, you have nothing. And she gives you this whole long speech about honesty. And then you ask her, what do you do when you show up late to work? How do you guys manage with the boss? You told me you have a tough boss. She says, oh, we have this little purse just outside the door. The first person to show up to work takes everyone's cards and passes them all through. We all clock in, and the first person clocks us all in, and then we slip in through different doors. Where'd your honesty go? That was theoretical. In theory, that's what I believe. In practice, well, practice is a different story. So we're also that way. And that's where stories open our eyes. A girl once asked me, how much do you believe a husband should help his wife? I said, I believe a husband should help his wife.
What kind of question?
So then she cornered me and said, and at the Shabbos table, do you believe a husband should get up and serve the food or not?
Oh, boy.
Fair question.
The women serve.
Okay, so you have an answer. I didn't have an answer.
That's an answer I was given.
Okay. I didn't have an answer at the time. I think that your answer, there are many answers that are legitimate.
It's compromising.
Well,
I'll do that, or
you want to hear what I think the answer is?
Oh, I don't have an answer.
I think you should help.
I'll tell you, I also think you should help. And there were many years where I would go and help in the kitchen. And then I realized it's a mistake, and I'll explain why. You have a Shabbos table, and there's a certain atmosphere that's there. And when you leave the table, and your wife leaves the table falls apart. This kid goes to play with the Lego. That kid goes to read a book. By the time you come back with the food, you've had some quality 3 minutes with your wife in the kitchen, which is very nice. But you come back and you've lost the whole atmosphere of the Shabbos table. I'm telling you, someone who's made that mistake. I definitely believe in helping. I believe in sending the kids to help. I believe that after the meal, my wife should be able to sit down and read a book and do whatever she wants, and I'll deal with everything, the dishes and the cleaning and everything. But at the table, for years I'd get up, and I tried to figure out, what am I missing here? Why does the Shabbos table fall apart? And then, it took me a long time to figure this out. You know, it's easy in conversation. But in reality, I couldn't figure out why I was losing the kids. And I think that's the reason why. I think that
it's of cultural difference, major cultural differences. Like if she's from a Sephardi background and you're Ashkenazi or
okay.
Vice versa.
I don't think the key here is the answer. I think what you're exploring for is the approach. Meaning you want to know, and she wants to know, how involved you believe you should be in helping her and in dealing with the kids. And that's what you're exploring as you talk. What we're trying to figure out is that we match. We are trying to find someone who, in 75% of life, looks at life the same way I do. What's the other 25%? We'll get to the other 25% in a minute. We're trying to find someone that on the key issues, we're on the same page with the same attitude. So I can't find a replica of myself. And I need someone to fill in for my weaknesses. There are areas where I'm not good at them. I need someone who's better at them than me. Those aren't the key issues of attitude, personality. Those aren't the key issues of priorities, values. This is where we speak about areas of our personality that that add color to life. So if you're outgoing, it could be that there's going to be that 25% where you're different than her because she's more quiet. But you need someone who's going to listen to you talk, and she needs someone who's going to do more of the talking. So fine, that can work. Meaning there are areas where we do complement one another, where it is important that we're different than one another. It could be I have a friend who learned medicine. And one day he tells me, as we're talking on the phone, he says, I got a big problem. I said, what's your problem? He says, I just lost someone's brain. I said, what does that mean? He said to me, I had a brain I was supposed to do experiments on. So they gave me this brain to bring home from the laboratory. And I'm supposed to bring it back to the lab today. And I can't find it. So I said, oh.
You don't want to be hit.
So,
it's expensive.
No. So I said, what do they do to you if you lost the brain? He said, that's not the issue. I said, oh, then what's the issue? He said, the brain had a very contagious disease. And anything it touches has to be cleaned with this very sharp material to clean it. And I don't know where the brain is right now in my apartment. Oh, lovely. Okay. I made a mental note not to visit his apartment anytime soon, right? Maybe in the fridge, right? So this guy dated a girl.
I take brains home in medical school.
Not here.
Who was it?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say what country this was in. So I was also shocked. I don't know if it was legal that he took the brain home. I don't know. It sounds crazy to me. I don't know. I know what he told me on the phone. He wasn't joking. He married a girl that would call him before dates and tell him, don't forget to take a sweater. It's cold outside. Don't forget to bring your lactate pills. We're going on a milchik date and you're not going to digest the milchik. So that's what he needed. She's the exact opposite of him. Everything by her is very organized, right? So she was able to organize his life. So the fact that she's different than me in certain key areas of life, that might be great. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But in our values, in our priorities, in our systems, how we're going to make decisions, there we have to be able to work together. We're looking for someone who sees the world the way I do. Now that doesn't mean that if I look at the clock and I say there's 12 minutes left to class, I can fit in here about, and then I think of about 3 hours worth of material. I'm very bad at gauging time. She should also be bad at gauging time. No. It's great if we don't share weaknesses. We can cover for one another. And so there are areas of life where it's important, the differences between us, we cover for one another. We're buying a table for our kitchen. So we walked into a store and they told us this table is 250 or 300 shekel. I look at the table, looks like new condition. My wife says to the seller, for 50 shekel, we'll take it. So I thought that was like the most disrespectful thing you could say. Like, 300 shekel, she's saying 50. So I was trying to think, am I supposed to apologize now for her behavior? Is that like, as I'm trying to digest what, and I was ready to bury my head and just walk out, and the guy goes to my wife, what about 125? I said, huh? It just went from 300 to 125, because she had the guts to say 50. So I've learned something. Yeah, I've learned something in these 15 years of marriage. We're different. In this area, we're different. I would never have the courage to tell a person 50 shekel for 300. But you know what? I learned from her. I went and got my computer, and it had a warranty. And we're at the end of the 3 years. And I bring it in, and they give it back, and they give me the wrong Windows. So I call up, and they say, okay, bring it back. We'll fix the windows. I said, I don't have time to bring it back. You know what it means to travel to you, to wait till you do, to bring it back. I don't have time for that. I need you to give me a new license to the new windows you gave me. I would have never had the courage to say such a thing. But I learned something in 15 years of marriage. What do you know? Today I get a phone call back. You're right. We're giving you a new license. We're giving you for free a license key to window. It's a 360 shekel gift. Right? And I would have never had the courage to say that. You learn.
To go all the way out.
Right, I would have had to schlep out and everything. No, I would have been this timid little guy who says, okay, I'll come, I'll bring it, you know. You learn something. So there are areas where the differences between us are good. We learn from one another, but in the key components of our personality, we have to respect, we have to value one another, and in our vantage point, in our value system, we have to be the same. Otherwise, it won't work. If she says, I want the TV running all day, and you say, I don't want a TV in the house, how are you going to build a house together? You have to look for those key points as you date. Now we're going to shift. If you guys want to continue on dating, we'll shift to the how to get dates on the first date. Or we'll shift to Tanakh. What's the vote?
Dating.
Dating? Okay.
He really needs it.
Huh?
He really needs it.
Okay.